Big transfer news today.
Who's moving?
Me. To the couch. With Domino's best deal ever since they just added stuffed crust.
Any pizza, any toppings, now with stuffed crust for $9.99.
It's a long-term contract with no release clause.
Only $9.99? Yeah, that sounds like the move. I'm heading straight to
Domino's.
Prices higher for some locations. Excludes XL and specialty pizzas. Select this offer from 6/15 through 7/26. Online only. Size availability varies by crust type. Max 7 toppings, 6 for pan and New York style crust. Minimum purchase required for delivery. Prices, participation, delivery area, and charges may vary.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. You know what's slower than a pace car? Waiting at the car wash. That's when I fire up Chumba Casino. It turns those slow minutes into fast fun. With new games every week, you'll never get bored. Next time you're stuck in the slow lane, speed up with Chumba. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. For years, Chumba's been setting the bar for online social casino fun, and it just keeps getting better with new games released every week and daily bonuses to collect. The fun never stops. So claim your welcome bonus now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Save big on your next project at Menards. Check out our huge selection of Richmond water heaters. Whether it's electric or gas, tank or tankless, Menards has what you need in stock. Ensure that you have hot water for when you need it most with a new Richmond water heater from Menards. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, growing up, her family thought she was going through phases. Years later, they began asking a different question. What if she was simply seeing something the rest of them couldn't?
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802. Or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown, and quite possibly, the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
And indeed it is. And yes, we'd love to hear your real ghost stories. Share them, 855-853-4802, or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. Be sure to press subscribe wherever you are listening to us or watching us. We are back on YouTube. So if you were a subscriber over there, you can now watch us doing the program once again on YouTube. Just search Real Ghost Stories Online, and the link is in the description. So, yes. Have you ever had that where someone in the family sees things, hears things that nobody else is experiencing, and then you're supposed to believe them?
No. No, because my whole family experienced it.
Well, I think that's easier, isn't it? If you're experiencing something and you've got...
You're the odd one out there if you're not.
Right. Yeah. Exactly.
See, yeah. That's what I think would be really bad. If you are experiencing something, you're a kid, you don't really even have the vocabulary to explain it. And then, or you don't know what it is.
Yeah.
You know, how can you explain when you don't know what it was happening to you? But nobody else seems to have that. That would be a really weird, kind of lonely thing for a kid.
Yeah. What about the relative or the friend or somebody close that gives you information that they're getting from the other side, warning of anything, or you should think about this, or but it's coming from some other place. You ever have anybody have any of that? No.
I've got a cousin who has claimed to have abilities, and I actually believe that she does.
Sure.
And she said a couple of things to me, and I wish I could remember what they were just for the podcast, but there were a couple things where she's like, you're going to see this happen, you know, in the next weeks or whatever. And some shit did kind of come out from that. So I actually believe that my family and on both parents' sides may have had some abilities, but again, because of their age and that generation, nobody really kind of leaned into it at all.
Yeah.
Sure. Sure. I think I would take it more seriously if it was coming from someone I knew or a family member, rather than like somebody like walking up to you at an airport or something. I want to tell you this because we've had stories of people who've done that, you know, that's what they do. And I, you know, and some, like if you know their stories more, you go, oh, okay, this, they got something going other. And some you're like, might be a bit touched, you know, but not in the paranormal way. right. I think that'd be interesting. I've never had that happen. I've never had a family member come to me with anything like that, but I know other people have. I was just curious. Where because it sounds like this story is someone that was kind of the odd man out. They're the only one that felt the stuff when nobody else did. And then that's a battle. Like, you know, it probably depends how approachable your family is on receiving that sort of information. And there's probably maybe certain ones that you can and can't say that around, or, you know, then it's interesting though, Carol, you have the polar opposite dynamic. I don't think that's a lot of people.
That everyone in my house had something.
Yes, where everybody is like, it's just that's the drop point already. It's not establishing, is this house haunted? Are there ghosts? It's like, we're all there already. And I think for a lot of folks, it's one person is there and nobody else is.
Which I can see, because some people are just more sensitive. I think that some people are more open to it.
Yeah.
Other people, they don't even understand it. We've all talked to those people who are like, I don't believe in the paranormal. Mm-hmm. Because how can you, if you've never experienced anything you can't explain? Of course you don't believe in it.
But I also think there's a lot of people who have experienced something that they can't explain. Mm-hmm. But because they can't explain it, just kind of push it to the side and pretend it didn't happen.
Yeah, because we've all talked to those people too. And they go, I don't believe in the paranormal, but this one time. Right. And they go on to tell you this story that's like super paranormal. And it's like, well, okay, then how do you explain that?
That would be a great t-shirt. I don't believe in ghosts, but this one time, dot, dot, dot.
Dot, yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think it's how people continue functioning, because if their brain were to intermesh the two and accept it as this is part of reality, that's a reality they're not comfortable living in. So they compartmentalize it over here and they compartmentalize it over here. And they both live in the same ether. It's just neither of them go in each other's room. And they can access it back and forth, but at the end of the day, it's easier to live over here without the ghosts.
Yeah.
And those people are, and there's people who believe in ghosts that still kind of practice that mindset in other portions of their life.
No, with other people. I was thinking of the Hidden Killers and some of the stuff we're talking about over there, just the compartmentalization. We were talking about the day we're recording this, the Gilgo Beach killer, Rex Heuermann, has been sentenced. And we were talking about his wife on the show today and the compartmentalization that goes on there, because she seems to be, at least it was portrayed in the recent doc since he's been incarcerated, of them kind of having a hey baby relationship, you know, through behind bars, not being utterly just disgusted that your husband did this to eight women over the course of those are the only ones that we know about over
that.
The course of your and I said, I asked the question, our guest was a psychologist today, Siobhan Scott, and I said, does the Gilgo Beach killer, Rex Heuermann, does his wife, he clearly didn't see them as human, but does she see them as human? Because I don't know that she does. Because I think if you did, you wouldn't be able to have any conversation with that man.
Right.
Even though that your husband for all those years and you got it. And I get like you have your own world where it fell apart and you're trying to put it back together. Don't put it back together with those blocks. There's a reason they already fell over. You don't want to reuse them to rebuild any part of your future. But we often reach for them and thinking, getting like to put it all back together. No, don't fucking put it back together. Start over. And I think we do that.
That's so bothersome.
Yeah. But I think we do that with people. I think that's the same sort of compartmentalization where she can reach over here and go, yeah, he did this. And over here, that's her, knight in shining armor.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And you can't combine the two because combining the two, it's like the episode of Rescue 911 where in the chemistry lab, they poured the wrong chemicals together and he runs out of the building and boom. And before you know it, William Shatner is telling your story. And the last line is, and he didn't survive, but he saved the classroom. But I think our brains are like that. And I think sometimes when you have people that have psychotic breaks, it's because shit like that happened, because the barrier between the two worlds collapsed. And there's a reason our minds sometimes don't let us do that. And I don't think it's always because we're wanting to be horrible people or not deal with reality. It's just, I think our minds know what we can and can't handle sometimes. Right. And better than we do consciously. So anyway,
wouldn't you just feel so betrayed? Like that's the part I don't think I could get over is like,
yeah,
you know, here's your husband leading this life that's absolutely out of a horror movie. And then you're like, but I do love him. You know, I would have questions. Absolutely. Questions about his secrets and why he did this and how long had he been doing this. And I would feel so betrayed. Like your whole life is based on a lie.
Yeah. And all valid feelings, but to recover in his, or with any piece of him still in your ecosystem.
Yeah.
Like why? You know,
I couldn't, I'd have to walk away. I mean, I really would.
Oh, I'd feel so betrayed. I'd have a million questions. There might be one difficult conversation with that person.
I don't know what it is. I've had far less done to me than that, but some horrible shit where I've walked away and not looked back. Totally fine with it. You have some morbid curiosities, but it's like the fucking trauma is not worth finding those things out. But if you're never viewing it as trauma, I don't know. It's a creepy story. It's such a weird dynamic. I don't think we've seen the end of that, that story, but more on that at Hidden Killers. Just search that wherever you get podcasts.
That's called a cross promote, ladies and gentlemen.
There you go.
Yes.
There you go. But it's a meaningful one. It's not like, and if you go over there right now, and you use keyword super crime, we're going to get you a 2-leg and thigh chicken dinner from Mom and Pop's Grocery Express. Right.
That's just so creepy.
Let's do a ghost, a 2-leg and thigh chicken dinner from Mom and Pa's Grocery Express.
I am vegetarian, so there's that.
To you, that way, yes. I have to say, it was delicious. They had good fried chicken.
That was a real place.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
A real prize that we once gave away on the radio too.
And people went crazy for it.
It was a $3.99 value or maybe $2.99 value at the time. And this was the prize. And it was like, we're giving away a $3 prize. Like this seems stupid, but people loved it.
But you got the canned green beans with it and you got the mashed potatoes and gravy. I mean, there's nothing better than that.
I would sometimes walk all the way down there from the radio. Now that's a long walk, but I do it like on a Saturday or something.
Because you weren't old enough to drive.
No, I wasn't. No, but I'd be like, I'd get like dropped off at like 10 a.m. and I'd be working on stuff. I lived in the production room throughout all of high school. And so every Saturday, I'm in the production room, just creating all sorts of shit. And then I'd go walk all the way down there and then walk back a little break and then come back and keep working. And then I think Saturday night, a lot of it, I was doing a show on a rock station from 7 to midnight. That was the slot I got for live. And I used every second of that thing. The TCX nightclub.
Yep.
Yeah. And it was fun. We had a fishbowl window out into the street, and we were drunk people everywhere because we were downtown. And so they'd be fucking with us and we'd be fucking with them. And we had speakers that went out. We could take remote mics out into the street. Todd knows all about that.
That is pretty cool.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, it was
pretty cool.
Yeah. It was neat. It was a really, it was the, yeah, it's so much fun there. But yeah. Look back on that shit and go, how the fuck did I get away with these things? and who the hell thought it was a good idea to allow the 15-year-old to just take over the night show at a rock station, you know? And yeah, it's, yeah. Anyway, let's go over to our story. It starts out, Ella was 6 years old when she first saw the woman. She was sitting at a kitchen table, coloring a birthday card for her father while the rest of the family was upstairs. It was the kind of afternoon that should have faded from memory completely, but for Ella, it never did. Years later, Elizabeth would remember the day as perfectly ordinary. Ella remembered looking up from her crayons and seeing a woman slowly descend the staircase. At first, she assumed the woman belonged there. She wasn't transparent or floating, and there was nothing immediately supernatural about her appearance. It took a moment for Ella to realize something was wrong. The woman wore white, and one side of her face appeared normal white, and the other seemed strangely incomplete, as though part of it had disappeared into shadow. She reached the bottom of the stairs, stopped long enough to look directly at Ella, and then walked towards the garage. Ella watched her go before returning to her coloring. At 6 years old, she didn't have the words to explain what she had seen, and she never mentioned it to anyone. The years that followed were marked by a glowing difference between the two sisters. Elizabeth moved through the house without giving much thought to it. She invited friends over, wandered from room to room, and never felt uncomfortable being alone. Ella's experience was very different. Certain parts of the house bothered her from the beginning, particularly the room at the end of the upstairs hallway. She couldn't explain why she disliked it. Whenever someone asked what was wrong, she struggled to put the feelings into words. She simply knew she never felt comfortable there. At first, Elizabeth assumed it was one of those childhood fears that eventually disappeared. Her parents thought the same thing. The problem was that the feeling never went away. If anything, it became stronger as Ella got older. Sleepovers often ended with her finding an excuse to avoid spending the night in her own room. Sometimes she'd fall asleep downstairs. Other times she'd ask to sleep in Elizabeth's room. As children, neither sister thought much about it. Looking back, Elizabeth realized how often Ella had tried to avoid being alone upstairs. Things became harder to dismiss when other people started reacting to the room. Friends who knew nothing about the house often complained that it felt uncomfortable. One said the room felt crowded despite being empty. Another moved into the hallway during the middle of the night and refused to return. None of them described exactly the same feeling, but they all seemed to arrive at the same conclusion. Something about the room made them uneasy. Elizabeth still wasn't convinced anything paranormal was happening. She believed people influenced one another more than they realized. And if enough people talked about a room feeling strange, eventually everyone started looking at it differently. It seemed like a reasonable explanation at the time, and for years she held on to it. The first crack in that certainty appeared during a summer when Ella spent 2 weeks visiting relatives. It was the longest she'd ever been away from the house. Elizabeth didn't think much of it until several days had passed, and she realized something felt different. The house seemed calmer. The upstairs hallway no longer carried the same uneasy feeling that had always lingered there. Even their mother commented one evening that the house felt unusually peaceful. Nobody connected the observation to Ella being gone, but when she returned home, the atmosphere gradually changed again. This was the first time Elizabeth seriously considered the possibility that whatever was happening might have less to do with the house itself and more to do with her sister. She never said that out loud because she wasn't sure what it meant. The idea bothered her enough that she pushed it aside and tried not to think about it. As they entered their teenage years, Ella stopped pretending she liked the room. She openly admitted she hated it. Some nights she complained about hearing footsteps. Other times she woke up convinced someone had been standing beside her bed. On more than one occasion, she appeared downstairs in the middle of the night looking exhausted because she had barely slept. Elizabeth listened and sympathized, but she still couldn't fully understand what her sister was experiencing because she wasn't experiencing it herself. I changed one Saturday afternoon when her parents were out running errands. Ella was upstairs putting away laundry while Elizabeth sat downstairs watching television. The scream came so suddenly and with such intensity that Elizabeth was halfway up the stairs before she fully realized what she had heard. When she reached the room, she found Ella sitting on the floor near the closet, crying so hard she could barely speak. It took a long time before she was able to explain what happened. She said she had been hanging clothes when she felt the room change. The silence became overwhelming and the air seemed strangely heavy. When she turned towards the doorway, she saw a woman standing there. It was the same woman she had seen years earlier on the staircase. This time, however, she wasn't a distant figure crossing through the house. She was standing only a few feet away. Ella insisted the woman looked directly at her before moving towards her. That was when she dropped the laundry basket and ran. When their parents returned home, they searched the house, checked every room, and found nothing. Later that evening, Ella finally told them about seeing the woman as a child. It was the first time Elizabeth had ever heard the story. What unsettled her most wasn't the description of the woman. It was the realization that Ella had carried that memory for years without telling anyone. After that day, Elizabeth found herself paying closer attention. She didn't experience the house the way Ella did, but she started noticing things she had ignored before. These were times she heard, there were times she heard footsteps where nobody else was upstairs. There were moments when she walked into a room and felt as though the conversation had just ended. Occasionally, she caught movement in her peripheral vision, only to find nothing there when she turned to look. None of those experiences were enough to convince her on their own, but together they slowly chipped away at her certainty. The night that stayed with both sisters happened during Ella's junior year of high school. For several weeks, she had been sleeping poorly and spending as little time in her room as possible. Elizabeth didn't know exactly what was bothering her, but she could see the exhaustion on her face. Whenever Ella asked if she could sleep in her room or stay up later than usual, Elizabeth didn't argue. Shortly after midnight, Elizabeth woke with the unmistakable feeling that somebody was standing near her bed. The sensation was so immediate that she sat upright before she was fully awake. Her room was empty, yet the feeling lingered long enough to leave her heart racing. She turned on the lamp and sat there for several moments, trying to convince herself she had simply been dreaming. Before she could settle down, she heard movements in the hallway. A few seconds later, Ella appeared in the doorway. Neither of them needed to ask what was wrong. Ella explained that she had woken suddenly after seeing movement near the foot of her bed. She couldn't clearly describe what she saw. She only knew that every instinct told her she needed to get out immediately. At almost the same moment, Elizabeth had awakened with the overwhelming certainty that someone had been standing beside her bed. For the first time, the experience felt shared. Not identical, not even fully understood, but shared enough that Elizabeth could no longer dismiss what her sister had been living with. A week later, their mother arranged to have the house blessed. Elizabeth didn't expect much to come from it, but both sisters noticed a change almost immediately. The tension that had always seemed to linger upstairs gradually faded. Ella stopped avoiding her room. The sleepless nights became less frequent, and for the first time in years, the house felt ordinary. Eventually, the family moved away, and life continued. The house became one of those places that surfaced in conversation every now and then during holidays and family gatherings. As the sisters got older, they found themselves talking about it less often, but neither of them completely forgot what happened there. The biggest difference was that Ella occasionally continued having experiences she couldn't explain. Nothing like the activity in the house, but enough to remind her of it. Sometimes she'd enter a place and immediately feel uncomfortable for reasons she couldn't identify. Other times she sensed a presence she couldn't quite explain. Those moments were rare, but they never disappeared completely. Elizabeth never had experiences like that, and for a long time she assumed that meant she had been right all along and that Ella was simply more imaginative. As she grew older, however, that explanation felt less satisfying. She had watched her sister carry those experiences for most of her life. She had seen the fear, the exhaustion, the uncertainty. None of it had ever felt manufactured. One evening, years after they moved away, the conversation drifted back to the house. Ellie admitted she still didn't know what she believed. Maybe the house had been haunted. Maybe she had always been unusually sensitive and the house had simply amplified something that was already there. She wasn't sure she would ever know the difference. Elizabeth listened and realized she wasn't searching for answers anymore. What stayed with her wasn't the image of the woman on the stairs or the stories about the bedroom. It was the realization that her sister had spent years experiencing a world that nobody else around her could fully understand. As children, Elizabeth had often tried to explain things away because she wasn't seeing what Ella saw. Looking back, she wished she had listened more carefully. Sometimes she found herself wondering what it would be like to move through life the way Ella did. To walk into a room and immediately sense something was wrong. To occasionally notice things other people overlooked. To spend years questioning your own experiences while knowing they felt completely real. She wasn't sure she would want that ability, but she no longer doubted that her sister had been living with it. The house had changed both of them, just in different ways. Ella left believing there were things in the world she might never fully understand. Elizabeth left with a different question entirely. She sometimes wondered how many unusual moments she had overlooked throughout her life simply because she wasn't paying attention, and whether the world was a far stranger place than she ever allowed herself to believe. Ta-da.
Dun-dun-dun. I think that's interesting because a lot of times people just get stuck in their own beliefs and they don't think, what would it be like? You know, it's just like, oh, you're crazy, because that is not happening.
Is that how you say it to people, Carol? Like when you're, when you feel that way? Are you like, you're just having a conversation, like Carol's like, you crazy. I just don't.
You so crazy.
I just don't see that. That's like a new side of you.
I actually really like that side of you, Carol. I want to see more of it.
You so crazy. You and your paranormal beliefs. My God.
Yeah.
I just think it's, you know, I hope that her sister appreciates the fact that, you know, might be years later, but at least her sister's like, Tony's making that weird static sound.
Yeah, yeah.
Ooh, there's ghosts coming out of my mouth.
You and Todd both and your ghosts.
You crazy.
It's my PKE meter.
That is
oh
so
my God,
funny.
There's something paranormal around the microphone.
Ooh.
Hey, now that's something we could do.
It's so funny why it does that.
Because it's electrical. Okay. You know, there's an elect. That would be cool. Like, we could create a K2 meter that's also a vape. If you're ghost hunting, you don't have to have two things in your hand. You can actually search for ghosts and vape at the same time.
Why has nobody thought of that?
I don't know.
New in the Real Ghost Stories online store.
And basically all it is, it's a vape and a K2 that we've taped together with duct tape.
But if it works, it works, right?
Exactly.
If it works,
we can make a few bucks on it, that's fine.
It's got a Real Ghost Stories logo
just
on it.
Just don't tape in up Sharpie. The battery side.
I like the fact that also that her sister was able to eventually say, hey, I feel kind of bad about this. I wish I would have listened more. I wish I would have had... you know, taking what she was saying a little bit more to heart instead of just blowing it off. That's a big step for someone to do that.
It is.
And sometimes it does take an experience of your own to go, you know, I really should have thought about that.
Mm-hmm. In the words of Michael McDonald, take it to the heart.
No.
What is that? What's that from?
Take it to the heart. I don't know. It's an older song. It came up on my Spotify the other day. And I'm like, this isn't a half bad Michael McDonald song. I don't know why I've never heard this one before.
What year do you think it's from? 80s, 70s?
Late 80s, early 90s.
Okay.
And that general area. It was like somewhat of a hit. Not much, though.
It was one that only made it to like number 25 on Casey's Countdown.
Yeah.
Right?
Like it was before my time. In radio, but I think late 80s. So, I mean, it got some play, but then when it was gone, it was gone. It never made gold after that. Here's another fun fact as Tony realized, like, learns music for the first time. don't you ever have that where you're like, especially song lyrics are, notorious. You realize, oh, that's not what that is. Here's one I had the other day too. I think it was the same day I heard the Michael McDonald song and went, I'm going to add that to my playlist over here.
May 15th, 1990, that song came out.
Okay. So it was pretty close.
Yep.
90. Yep. The Michael Jackson song, Liberian Girl, another one I never really knew. I saw it like on the track list, but I only really listened to the songs I wanted to listen to. Came up just kind of randomly, and I'm like, oh, it's Liberian Girl. For the last 30 years, I thought it was Librarian Girl.
Librarian Girl's so much better.
I know. I'm like, oh, it's a song about a librarian girl. That's an interesting one for Michael.
And there's all references to like putting books back on the shelf and the card catalog and that whole stanza on the Dewey Decimal System. Who knew?
Oh my God. It was a great song about,
and I mean, return your books on time.
That's right.
Card catalog. Yeah.
I was listening to a Michael McDonald playlist the other day and it had all of these songs that Michael McDonald sang backup on.
Oh.
And some of them I forgot. But one of them is that James Ingram song.
I love that song.
What does that mean, though?
Well, Yamo be there.
It means Yamo be there. Come on, Carol.
What is Yamo?
It's a religious kind of spiritual thing, isn't it? Isn't Yamo?
I don't think it means anything. I think even James Ingram said it like the song has no meaning. Like I'm gonna be there.
But it's not. It's Yamo.
I know. I always thought it was I'm a be there too, but no, it's Yamo be there. But I don't think there's any true meaning behind it. I think it was just
I spent the entire time listening to that song going, what the F are they talking about?
If I remember right, I think it's just like they needed to filler, syllables in the studio initially and they just kind of stuck with it. Okay. Like, have you ever heard, Phil Collins a handful of years ago released his albums again, but then he released a bunch of, the studio, demo cuts.
Yeah.
And it's really fucking interesting to listen to because most of the songs, in the development phase, sound like the real song, but he's just, doing non-words.
Right.
Lyrics.
And every once in a while, he'll, throw some real lyrics in there. And I don't know. It was just, it's an interesting way to see how the song was developed. But I think that's Yamo Be There's story. Is it? Did you Google that? Did you Yahoo it?
I did. And
ask the Jeeves?
I did. Ask Jeeves. It took a while to come up when I asked Jeeves, by the way. It had a process it. It does reference it's like another word for God.
Oh, it is. I didn't. Yeah. Oh, damn it. Well, now God, you ruined God the fucking song
be
for
there,
me.
So
I had thought I saw it like on a Behind the Music. Maybe that was a fever dream.
Well, say this. It was so that you could listen to it and be inspired on a spiritual level without indicating one specific God. So it's not God. Okay. It's not Allah. It's not, whatever.
It's Yamo. It's whatever James Ingram tells you it is.
It correct. Sounds kind of like an alien, like Yamo be there. And it's an alien.
Maybe that's what happened to James.
He met Yamo.
And now this is what's going to come out in the FBI file or the government files are going to drop. It's going to turn out. Fucking James Ingram had the anthem a long time ago. He's going to come out of the spaceship and we're going to be like, what's going on? What the hell? And then Michael
Ingram?
McDonald will suddenly hover in the sky with his hair. And then what the, he's here. What is going on? That sounds like Yamo be there. And then all of a sudden it's like, boom, Yamo be there.
And then everybody will start dancing.
Yamo be. And then the aliens come down and drink our blood.
Oh, that
and
part.
Feast on you our souls.
I was really fascinated by this spontaneous concert happening with an alien ship or something.
No.
And then the drinking our blood. I'm not about that.
With a mix of James Ingram. Seems like a natural connection point.
I'm so glad you could clear that whole mystery up for me.
I'm glad I could too.
I don't know if it's any clearer now than it was before, but we'll go with it.
Yeah, I'm OB there. You know? Yeah, I'm OB there. He had other good songs. Anyway, I'm going to go on a James Ingram rant. All right, that's going to wrap up this episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. If you want access to our bonus episodes and all the fun stuff, check us out on Patreon or Apple Podcasts. Just search Real Ghost Stories Online. Get access to that. Until next time, for Carol and Todd, I'm Tony. Press subscribe. We'll talk again real soon. Thanks for listening to Real Ghost Stories Online. Yamo, be there.
Up and I'll be.
Drew McIntyre here from WWE. Wielding the Claymore can be a life of chaos. When I'm not dominating in the ring, Chumba Casino is how this warrior takes a wee break. With hundreds of online social games and new weekly releases, there's always something fresh to try. And those daily boosts, next level. Even my free time feels like Valhalla. So when life feels like a battle, kick up your feet, have some fun, and let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and I have discovered a fun new escape from the daily grind, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has hundreds of social casino-style games and it's all free to play anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So get to chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. For years, Chumba's been setting the bar for online social casino fun, and it just keeps getting better with new games released every week and daily bonuses to collect. The fun never stops. So claim your welcome bonus now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Identity theft can cost more than you think. Drained investment accounts, stolen tax returns, lost wages, expenses for lawyers. It's a lot. That's why LifeLock is backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, which covers up to $1 million each for stolen funds, fees for experts and lawyers, and out-of-pocket expenses. Don't face the burden of identity theft alone. Protect your future and finances with LifeLock. Join now and save up to 30% your first year at LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T&Cs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.